All these rules will help Rick Horrow's golf game. He is with us right now, our Sports Business Insider. Rick, how are you?
Hey, Rick.
I do this stuff already.
You are very generous with your gimmies. You keep the pace of play moving.
I sure do. And, you know, why read a putt if you're going to take it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a freebie.
Right?
Exactly. No question about it.
Exactly.
All right, Rick.
And why have a caddy if you're not going to read it and you do take it? So, I mean, it's spiral.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. That sounds very good.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, you are a lifelong Dolphins fan coming off perhaps the most glorious game-ending play maybe in the history. I'll let you tell me that because you've seen the entire history of the Dolphins. Where were you Sunday? Explain to me your play-by-play of watching the miracle in Miami last week where the Dolphins beat the Patriots. Were you at home? Were you at the game? Where were you?
In the owner's suite, turned away, ready to leave, and ready to beat the traffic. And halfway through the play, I said, all right, what the hell? Let's watch it.
Yeah.
And everybody felt the same way. It was a frenzy, and everybody ran down to the field and did what they needed to do. I would say that for Dolphin fans, and you know, your producer knows this, although he's too young to remember it, the Dolphins' opening kickoff in their franchise history in Miami against Oakland was returned for a touchdown by a guy named Joe Auer. The hook and lateral play that Sprock did and Tony Nathan did and those guys, that was at the end of a half to make an ultimate playoff loss to San Diego closer. This was the first game-ending play I ever remember in a regular season game that, you know, will save the season or postpone the inevitable not going to the playoffs. Whatever it is, you know, the interesting thing is that you look at the power ratings this week, and the Dolphins have gone up basically five spots because, quote-unquote, they beat New England.
Yeah.
And that play not worked, that have gone five down. So, you know, it's pretty arbitrary. But, you know, they can beat Minnesota, although it's up in Minnesota, and they need that game too. But then they certainly could beat Jacksonville at home. And if it boils down to the last game of the season in Buffalo, even if it's snowing, they could probably do it. But who knows? I mean, it certainly brings some excitement to December that you wouldn't have expected.
I totally agree. And if they can run the ball like they did against the Patriots, 189 yards plus against the Vikings or something close to that, take a lot more pressure off Tannehill. I think they're going to give him a game. And thank you for not texting me. You're the only Miami Dolphin fan who didn't text me during the game, which after that play, which is fine.
By the way, I had other Boston losers that I had to take care of ahead of you, and then I went on to the thing.
Surely you jest.
It was amazing.
What about an afterglow, by the way?
You kind of wish almost that the next game was a home game so people would like it. I mean, if they beat Minnesota, there will be a frenzy against Jacksonville. They lose to Minnesota, we're back to kind of where we were. But we'll see.
Now, how much would you pay for that Kenyon Drake ball? I guess it was sold on the spot for $500 because a Patriot fan caught it, sold it to the guy next to him. And now there are reports it could go for $250,000. I mean, what's the value of that ball?
I'm not sure about that, but it would be nice if it were retired to the Miami Dolphin Museum, which is going to require somebody to buy it. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Don Shula donated a lot of his stuff. And on and on and on, and it would have been nice because it's certainly up there in the lore of trick plays. You know, it's the Music City Miracle all over again. That had more at stake because that was a playoff game, but to Miamians, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a big hockey fan from where I grew up, and you know, Seattle, you know, getting one of the new 32nd franchise, and I hate it. I know you're not going to turn down $650 million expansion. Rick, it seems like only yesterday where Columbus was paying $250 million. Now it's $650 million. But
let me understand now why you hate it.
I hate it because the league is already watered down enough, in my opinion. I think people went too gaga-ish last year because of how good Vegas did. This year they'd be the eighth seed right now. We'll see what happens in the coming years with that franchise. The league is too watered down already.
What they do with Houston. I mean, Seattle. I'm ahead of myself.
Yeah.
So the rumor is they're not going to allow Seattle to draft a goaltender. They're going to have to play their first 20 games without anybody in net to make up for what happened last year. A lot of grumbling, by the way. Here's the point I agree with, is that general managers kind of wouldn't say this publicly, but they hated the move because it made everybody look bad, saying, I mean, you can't even beat an expansion team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that wasn't a normal expansion.
You're right.
That was a bend over backwards, give guys a chance to flourish. The Vegas market, I was just there for the baseball meetings yesterday and the day before, mm-hmm. and I was at a game on Sunday night when they played who did they play Sunday night? I don't remember, but it doesn't matter. Oh, Dallas.
Yeah.
And it was a love fest. It's just incredible. I know they're not playing well, but, you know, who'd have thought that Vegas would have embraced hockey the way it has?
No doubt. Rick, let me ask you this. The XFL, they're going to come out and they're going to be in major markets where the NFL exists. The AAF is going to take a different approach and kind of go to more medium-sized markets like Orlando and whatnot. What's your theory? What's the better way to go with these new football leagues? And I'm not even going to get into the Freedom Football League, which Ricky Williams and T.O. are going to be back, and that's going to fail. But your thoughts on the other two?
Freedom Football League is free love and free weed for everybody.
right.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to help. I'll go for the league that has more patience and more capital, and I don't know who that is yet because – you know, Vince McMahon, among everybody else, understands how important it is to stay in a long-term fight because his last foray only lasted a year. But you don't take the NFL on head-on. I don't care what people are thinking. The only way one of these succeeds is a niche time of year, a niche product, and very clearly don't compete with the NFL in a place where you can't get enough football. I don't know where that is yet.
I think what's going to be even or could make or break is how they officiate the games. And is it going to be a little more violence back in? I know I think the XFL has said, it's not going to be a free for all. But I think that's going to be key to both of those leagues and how well they do is the officiating has got to be better than the NFL. I mean, more consistent. And I wonder how much more the players are going to be able to get away with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Although, you know, that's an interesting distinction. I'm not sure at the end of the day whether that's going to mean all of a sudden people gravitate to the new league. It's people are learning a lot more, and admittedly, if I'm one of the guys, Oliver Luck or anybody in the new leagues, I'll say, look at all these new platforms, Amazon and Facebook and Snapchat, and we can carry everything. Well, yeah, but that doesn't guarantee that people are going to watch it.
Rick Hara, our Sports Business Insider, with us with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. College football ratings through the roof, all the conference championships and all that, obviously a different story than what we were talking about for the last 2 years with the NFL, although the NFL is bouncing back a little bit. But college football is strong. Some people want to expand the playoffs. You know the whole story. What are your thoughts on that and where we stand right now with the growth of college football?
College football really strong. You can't wait for the big game like the Gasparilla, Bad Boy, Mowers, Weed Eater Bowl. Two separate bowls. But, you know, listen, 41 games. Many teams this year that didn't make it, even if they were at six wins, means it's a little more competitive, a little more parity. And when you look at the matchups, they're matchups that people don't see during the normal season. Northwestern, Utah, a lot of those kind of games. LSU, UCF, kind of good stuff. You don't know what you're going to get out of those teams, though. And the bottom line is there will be great ratings for the avid fan. The attendances will be lousy at places where people don't travel. And then you get into the debate about the 4 versus 6 versus 8, which will be solved in the next couple of years only in the boardroom, not in the field, because they've got to decide how to deal with the contracts and how to deal with the financial issues.
Absolutely. It's going to be really, really interesting. Quick, because you're at the baseball winter meetings. You were in Vegas. Anything jump out at you, surprise you, not surprise you in the couple days you were there?
Yeah, what a frenzy it is. You know, minor league baseball, it's 160 teams. You got the 30-some for major league baseball. So you got owners, general managers, let's say they're 5%, with the other 95% of the people there, job seekers who will do anything. And I mean anything for a job. So it's kind of weird. And so people were also trying to make up media stories. I was told by my friends at Reuters that I shouldn't say manufacture news. They should say report it. But what is it? I mean, it's, you know, Scott Boras going from place to place, faking that he's meeting with the following seven people to increase the value of Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets kind of tiring after a while. I will tell you kind of inside, the Mandalay Bay is very concerned about security, as they should, given what happened last year. And this year you couldn't get on floors unless you lived on that floor with a key that only accessed that floor. So media would, you know, dart into the elevators and wait to see who would push the button and then kind of get out on that floor and just kind of walk around. It was it was depressing if you really wanted to have some privacy. But nobody goes to Vegas for privacy.
That's fine. All right, final question for me. Steph Curry says the moon landing never happened. You're the only one old enough out of all the four of us here that was, you know, alive then. Did it happen? What happened?
It was filmed in a studio in my backyard because I helped crinkle up the tinfoil to put on an old pan, and you made it look like it was bigger than it was. And then, you know, you threw the pan so it looked like it was flying through space. did he really say that?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, now he's kind of faking it. Now he's saying I was only in jest, but he did say it. But
listen, shut the guy up. Let him shoot 3 points. That's what we care about, right? We don't care about his NASA knowledge. We care about his three-pointers.
Or his fine education at Davidson.
Because that picture of you and Neil on the moon, I still have that.
No, we were together. Yeah. By the way, speaking of old guys, I spent the day interviewing Dick Vitale today.
Oh, yeah?
And his Dick Vitale gala. I'm here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We're co-hosting an event called the Bowtie Ball for Fields and Futures, and his celebrity deal is May 10 gala. I will be there at the Sarasota Ritz. You guys are drafted. You will be part of the deal.
Oh.
And he's an amazing guy, by the way, just an incredible guy. Not just ESPN, but you know, the energy that he has. We need to bottle up what he what he makes, what he is, and then sell it. Because the guy is, maybe he shouldn't want me to say this, but he's 79 years old, I guess it is, and he can run circles around all of us.
Yeah,
he's a PTPer, man, all day long. Yeah. All right,
I know.
Well, it's always good to talk to you. Well, I think we'll speak next week, and then we'll take a little vacation holiday. So
we are definitely speaking next week. Dolphins by four.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
All right, man.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick Harrer, our Sports Business Insider, every week, every Thursday. Always entertaining.
So we just get invited to the Sarasota Ritz.
Sounds like we're going to be hobnobbing.
Wow.